The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's election day in the US tomorrow, and candidates have been laying out their final pitches to voters over the weekend. Donald Trump persisting in his belief, or his claimed belief, that the election was stolen by the Democrats in 2020. And he said at one particular stop that he never should have left the White House willingly. CNN's Anderson Cooper has been speaking with Pennsylvania Secretary of the Commonwealth Al Schmidt about former President Donald Trump stoking fears of voter fraud in the 2024 election. Have a listen.
You're a Republican. You care about the sanctity of the vote. I mean, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. There hasn't been. These are lies. How frustrating is this for you? What do you say to voters?
And Anderson, I was a Republican election commissioner in Philadelphia, elected in 2011 and reelected in 2015 and reelected in 2019. I have investigated hundreds of allegations of voter fraud. And that's why I feel like I can speak with some degree of authority and knowledge about when it occurs and when it doesn't occur, and when it does occur, the extent to which there's evidence of it. And allegations of widespread voter fraud in Pennsylvania are completely and totally unfounded. Voters should have confidence that we will have a free, fair, safe and secure election in 2024, just as we had in 2020.
So that's a Republican claiming that the elections will be free and fair. On the line now is Terry Sheridan, managing editor at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, I'm not sure if there's any overnight polling revealed in the United States, but they're all saying within the margin of error, it's pretty neck and neck in all the swing states.
Oh, absolutely. Overall, the average of voters nationwide is 49% for Harris, 48% for Trump in the so-called swing states. They're all within 1 or 2 points, mostly under a point, and all, as you said, within the margin of error. The one, and it could be an outlier, but it's been pretty accurate in the past, is the Seltzer poll in the state of Iowa for the Des Moines Register. That shows Harris surprisingly leading Trump by 3 points. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Harris is going to win, but it shows that, well, maybe the conservative Midwest is moving towards Harris. But again, that's basically just still reading tea leaves.
Now, it's important to point out in that Iowa poll, when Joe Biden was the candidate, Trump was leading by 15 points. And when Harris became the candidate initially, that lead was reduced. Trump was leading Harris by 5 points, and now Harris is leading Trump. If it tells you anything, it tells about the movement.
Absolutely. Tells about the movement towards Harris, especially in the past month as she's making her closing argument. And especially, and we have to say, the past week in American politics has been bizarre, starting with the rally in Madison Square Garden a week ago Sunday, comments that Trump has made, him allegedly or seemingly simulating a sex act on a microphone. It's just been bizarre. And I think that has moved a lot of people who were undecided or who were Republicans but were holding their tongue or holding their nose and biting their tongue to move towards Harris.
Now, for MAGA fans, Liz Cheney would be a hate figure, but Trump's conjuring up of an image of Liz Cheney facing a firing squad, given how well-armed America is, was a kind of a frightening thought, and perhaps he stepped right over the edge on that one.
He probably did, again, because of the blowback from other conservative Republicans who are not necessarily MAGA. And again, this is part of Donald Trump's MO, in which he will say something that appears to say something, but that he could, you know, walk back or say, oh, I didn't mean that. You're reading more into that. So that fits into exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to dog whistle to his supporters, one thing, but at the same time have plausible deniability.
Now, there are those out there who are suggesting that he is completely uninhibited now, that the nature of his, what he calls his weave, but in fact is, you know, his rambling for 4 hours, 4.5 hours with his supporters, and the fact that he feels he can say anything with impunity, you know, is this man actually cognitively impaired?
Well, again, I'm not qualified to make that determination, but there are people who are, who's saying something looks to be wrong. Now, for instance, yesterday at a rally in Pennsylvania, he not only went off and said, hey, I will speak the truth now. I'm going off the teleprompter. Well, who put stuff in the teleprompter that's not true? But he looked defeated. He looked deflated. He looked as if he was, you know, tired and subdued. So whether it's starting to get to him or whether his internal polling is showing that there's a good possibility he might lose, who knows?
And the best guess, if he were to lose, and to lose by a squeak rather than emphatically, he is not likely to concede.
Absolutely. Pundits are saying, and I don't know whether I agree with it, the earlier he says that he won tomorrow night shows that he has numbers that shows that he lost. Because if the numbers show that he wins, and he wins, as you said, by a squeak, he's going to want to declare that almost immediately. So he'll stay up late to do so. But if it looks like things are going badly for him early, he will declare victory, and then we will see exactly what we saw in 2020 all over again.
Now, celebrity is big in the United States. I mean, people that we've never heard of may be massive in a particular community, be they rappers or whatever. But there are, if you like, global superstars who've come out for Harris. Harrison Ford being one of them in recent days. And then Julia Roberts voicing over a very clever ad indicating to Republican women on the issue of the integrity of women's bodies and so on, that it might just be the right thing to vote for Harris irrespective of their husband's wishes.
Oh, this has been a big touch point, especially for conservatives. Conservatives are saying, well, if a woman votes against her husband's wishes, well, that's almost as bad as having an affair, you know, that the woman should do what the husband says. Again, and people, Republican people, certain Republican commentators or MAGA commentators are saying that this is horrible, that she's trying to get women to do this. But again, it is a strategy, and I guess that even the comments prove the point. Now, she also, that is Harris, released an ad with the same message towards men, in which you see walking into a polling place, stereotypical MAGA followers, and then they get into the booth, they're looking at phones of their wives and their children, and then they check off for Kamala Harris.
Now, what difficulties is she facing? I mean, there were reports earlier in the campaign that Latinos were not voting for her or intending to vote for her in the numbers that voted for Joe Biden, and the same for black males. And we know that given the situation in Gaza, that there is a problem for her within Arab communities.
Absolutely. Those are the three big ones. Michelle and Barack Obama have been working on working with the black male population that are usually would vote Democratic. But Harris is making a concerted effort. Yesterday, she did a rally in East Lansing, Michigan, which has a huge Muslim population, saying that she wants to end the war in Gaza. She wants to, you know, work on having peace there. So she's specifically trying to woo them, because that is a weak point, especially in Michigan, who view her as being pro-Israel, continuing the Joe Biden support of Israel. So she's wooing them to saying, hey, look, we'll work together to get a just settlement for Gaza.
And is there the concern that they will simply stay away, because a vote for Trump is a vote for Netanyahu?
That is...
or is that lost on them?
I think in a lot of ways that is lost on them. I think that in the way that our politics is working now, there's a lot of things lost on a lot of people on both sides.
Now, there was one entertaining development over the weekend, and that was the appearance of Kamala Harris on Saturday Night Live, which was funny, entertaining, but I'm wondering how impactful.
I think it was impactful. Is it going to move voters? No, it's not going to move voters. But is it impactful in presenting her in a positive way, making people feel good about themselves if they are going to vote for her? Is it going to move voters? No. But it was a positive touch point for her.
Now, watching the Democratic presidencies of the recent past, that of Obama and that of Joe Biden, I mean, in many ways, there was paralysis because of the control of Congress. You know, unless you have a majority in the Senate, there's little enough you can get to do unless there's some sort of bipartisan relationship across the aisle. And in the House, the Republicans were dominant, and of course had the two recent speakers being Republican. So what is the House race and the Senate race looking like at the moment?
Well, right now, from the best that we can see from polls, everything looks tight, but it looks like Democrats could actually pick up the House. They need just to flip four seats. That looks doable. Some polls project that they could take as many as 10 seats. In the Senate, it's a different story. It looks as if Republicans might pick up enough seats that they could contain, they can retain control of the House.
Of the Senate, either. Yeah.
Of the Senate, I'm sorry, that they could retain it with a 51-49 majority, or if Trump is elected president, a 50-50 majority.
My goodness, what an exciting night in prospect. Depending on which side you are, you can be daunted by the prospect or relishing the prospect. Terry, thank you very much for joining us on the line. That's Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor of WSHU News. Okay, time for cash.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.